Well, let's get our Bibles out tonight. I'd like for my chalkboard and my podium over here. If I get a few handsome, hinces here. Praise the Lord. Somebody said praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just felt this. I've been feeling it here for a while. And amen. I want to just work on some things in the Word of God. And sometimes it's the simple things that we miss. And oftentimes, whether it's in business or whatever it's concerning, if you just go back to the principles and just stand on the original foundation that you got started on, it's going to continue on the same way. There may be a few adjustments along the way and so forth, but I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. And I've already taught on this here at the church, but I just feel like we need to go over some things again. And I think it'll help somebody tonight. Hopefully it'll help somebody. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Everybody said the principles. Praise the Lord. Can everybody see all right? All right, a principle. Amen. That would be a foundational teaching or truth upon which other things are built upon. All right, so it's a foundation. A principle is a foundation. And what we're trying to do is build a foundation in our walk with God so that when the storms of life come and the troubles come, we're going to be able to stand. Amen. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. And I taught on this Sunday morning. And if you were not in the service on Sunday morning, the tape ministry will give you a free CD so you can listen to that. And then we want to go from repentance from dead works to faith in God or faith towards God. Everybody said faith.
Faith.
Now, this may seem very simple, and I know for some of you, you've already gone over this. You understand this. You know this. And so help me out here tonight because I believe that this will help us and reassure us in our walk with God. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to have faith in you and to understand what faith really is, how to work it out in our lives. We give you thanks. We give you praise today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You may want to get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down some of the scriptures because I'm not going to go slow here tonight. I know it's summertime, and my goodness, when you're out in this heat, it just has a way of taking it out of you. It really does. And so let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. It talks about faith, and this is how important it is to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. I don't think I spelled that right, but that's all right. It is impossible to please God. How many of us here tonight want to please God?
Amen.
How many of you really want to please God? I want to please God. I don't want to please men. I want to please God. I want to do the will of God. I want to be in the will of God in my life. Amen. And so since faith is very important, go back up a few verses to Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2, and it tells us what faith is. Amen. Faith is what? Substance. All right. And it is the evidence. All right. So we have substance and we have evidence. This is not something that is like a balloon full of air that blows up and it becomes big and beautiful, but all it takes is a little pinprick and all of a sudden it's gone. That's not what faith is. Faith is something that has substance to it. Amen. Real, genuine substance It is not weak. It is not something that is here today and gone tomorrow. But faith is our substance. But not faith is not something that we just reach out into the atmosphere and get a hold of. Faith is not something that that we pray for. Amen. It's not something that God gives us, but it is something that emanates out from us. Amen. It is what we have to do with God. And so faith is not something that we just reach out and try to grab a hold of that we can please God, but faith is substance. Everybody said substance, and it is evidence. Amen. And so the evidence, my evidence of my faith is twofold. It is found the evidence of God and the evidence of this walk with God can be found in the Word of God. Amen. And it is also found after the Word of God in my experience. All right? In my experience. And so, when I come to God, I look at the Word of God. I hear the Word of God without faith. A preacher, without hearing, we cannot believe. Amen. Without a preacher, we can't hear. And so, the Word of God is the thing that attracts us, first of all, to the Lord. Amen. Somebody probably talked to you before you came to the church. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody shared the Word of God with you, and then all of a sudden there was something that rose up within you, and you said, I see that, I believe that, or I see that. And then you come to a place where you begin to work out faith in your life. Amen. Faith is our substance and evidence, and some look at faith as something that's akin to blindness or ignorance. Simple-minded people that'll just believe anything anybody tells them, and they tell a story of a rapture and you believe it. Tell the story about a Christ that died and rose again and you believe it, and you just take whatever is said hook, line, and sinker. But that's not what faith is. Amen. It is substance and it is evidence. Amen. It is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. That's the substance of what you are praying about. Praise God. You're praying about it. You see it in the Word and you pray about it. You ask God, God, I believe you, and so I'm praying for this. When we stop praying, then we stop having faith. Well, praise the Lord. When we stop praying, we stop having faith, because faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, and it is the evidence of things that we cannot see, and so the evidence is the answer to our prayers. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We pray because of faith, and then when the answer comes, then we say it was God that did it. Amen. And that's the way it works. And so, when we look at faith here, Paul writes about it in this famous chapter of chapter 11 of Hebrews, and he gives several actions which are evident when somebody has faith, and we're going to look at those a little bit here. But let's go first of all to the book of James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14, and you say amen when you get there. All right, James 2 and verse 14. Brother Reed, would you read for down through verse 17?
What doth it profit, my brethren, that when man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which they are needful to the body. What doth it
All right. You don't hear that preached a lot in the denominational church world today, because in the denominational church world, it is just faith, and that's it. Everything hinges around a verbal confession of what you believe in your heart. Amen. But if someone here was out of food and Hunter hadn't eaten for 4 or 5 days and he came to church and he looked a lot thinner than he is tonight, and that'll all change, by the way, and we said, be warmed and filled. God bless you. Pat him on the shoulder, pat him on the head, whatever, send him home. And he would say, I'm going back to that church because it met my needs, right? No, I think he would say, you know what? I'm going to find another place to go. Praise God. Because it was an empty gesture. It was empty words. It was something that did not have a whole lot of meaning. And God help us today that when we say we love God, that there is something that goes along with what we say. And if we believe God and we have faith in God, then there is going to be something that goes along with it. And James said, show me your faith by without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Amen. So we're going to look at it here tonight. And that verse 21 through 24 of James chapter 2, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. Everybody said he believed God. There's his faith. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And so Abraham believed God, and he was called the friend of God. I want to be called a friend of God. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, doesn't mean I've done everything exactly right, but I want to be the friend of God. Abraham didn't do everything right. Amen. Abraham lied a few times, and Abraham did some things that we're still dealing with in our generation today. And yet he was called the friend of God, and because he had faith, amen, because he believed. And so what is this works thing here? And it's very important that you understand this when you come to God, because in another place the scripture says we are saved by faith through grace and not of works. I'm going to look at that here in just a minute. And yet there are those that say works don't matter, it doesn't matter what you do, so on and so forth. But I want to try to get it in the right perspective, because the Word of God does not contradict itself. Amen. This work, there are two kinds of works. One is the work of faith, and the other is the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh can be found in Galatians 5 and 19 through verse 21. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, so on and so forth. And the works of faith are found here in the story of Abraham. Abraham, all of a sudden, going through life, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to him, Abram, yes, Lord, here I am. And the Lord said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go offer him as a sacrifice. I want you to do something for me, Abraham. And it wasn't an easy situation. It was a very difficult situation for Abraham. He loved his son very much, his only begotten son, who was a representation of Jesus Christ, who was the only begotten Son of God. And so we can see in the life of Abraham a reflection of how God feels about these things. And the Lord is not one who is sitting on a throne somewhere and just telling everybody else what to do, and he's not doing any of it himself. Amen. He asked us to humble ourselves, right? And then the Bible says he humbled himself. Amen. And he asked us to sacrifice, and so he came down and robed himself in humanity and went all the way through the passion of the cross himself. He went through it himself and offered up his only begotten son. And so whatever God asks you and I to do, it is something that he is willing to do himself. Praise God. Praise God. In fact, not only is he willing to do it, but he's done it already. And he had it planned out before you and I were ever born and before the world was ever created. And so James says here, and James, of course, was the very first pastor in the New Testament church. He pastored the church in Jerusalem, which was about 50,000 people. And he has some very important things to say here. What was it? Did Abraham come up with the idea, this flesh thing here, I'm going to add to it, law. Amen. And did Abraham come up with some laws of his own? No, he did not. Abraham was before Moses. Moses was the one that brought the law. Abraham was way before Moses. So there was no law here. It was just a relationship, a deep relationship between him and his God. And one day the Lord said, I want you to give this to me. Now that's very foreign in our generation today. Our generation says it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I can get. I don't care about anybody else. And it's all about me. Amen. But if you're going to be successful in living for God, you've got to understand that there's more to life than just you. Amen. You've got to understand there's more to life than just getting what you want and finding happiness for yourself. Amen. What we need to do is find a way to bless others. Praise God. And more importantly, to submit ourselves to the will of God and be directed and guided by His Word and by His will in our lives. Amen. And Paul wrote in the Scriptures, he was a very influential preacher in the New Testament church. He was schooled in the ways of the Jews, but God called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. Totally, completely out of his area of expertise and talent and ability. God said, do something you're not qualified to do. God spoke to Moses and said, do something you're not qualified to do. He called Abraham to go, and he didn't even know where he was going to go. He just started walking. Amen. And that was their commitment to God and their desire for God. How much tonight do you desire God in your life? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you desire God? Do you desire Him more than anything else? Amen. Or is He just a part of your life? Is He just a little bit that helps you when you're down? And when you're down, you come to the house of God. When you're not feeling well, that's when you turn to Him. Or is it a deep relationship that when it's going good and when it's not going good, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to do the will of God? The answer to that question is a big answer. Amen. And only you can answer that question tonight. And so he said, go and give me the thing that you love the most. Amen. The thing that you love the most, not the thing that loves you the most, but the thing that you love the most. Amen. So it comes down to something very personal here. It comes down to something that is deep-seated within me. The thing that I love the most is the thing that resonates with me. Notice the word I in me. Amen. And that's where we are at in our lives most of the time. It's what we want for ourselves. And if we don't get what we want, then we're not happy. And there's a breakdown in relationship and so on and so forth. Amen. But here, Abraham was justified. Everybody said he was justified. He was justified. And I like to use this definition that it was just as if I had never sinned. Abraham was justified. He was made as righteous before God. In other words, God didn't have any bad things to say about him. Abraham was all right with God. Abraham had it all figured out with God. And he was justified Amen. By his faith. Amen. He was justified here by James in the book of James. He was justified by works. And so how do we reconcile these two? We have faith and we have works. Amen. What we need is not the faith of or the works of the law. What we need is works of faith. Praise God. And there's a big difference. The works of the law is when somebody tells you you've got to do this or else. And so you do it out of obligation. You go and you serve the Lord out of obligation, out of constraint, out of intimidation, or whatever you want to say. The law is still the law, and the law is perfect. The law is right. But there's a whole lot more to a relationship than performance. And the law requires performance. Amen. The law requires performance, but it doesn't say anything about motive. And it doesn't say anything about attitude. It just says this is what you're supposed to do. Now, there is the highest law, and it is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And so there's more to it then than obligation. It's got to come down to our heart. It's got to come down to the very core of who we are. Amen. And after you walk with God for a while and you fall in love with God, and that's the reason why many do not serve God, is because they never fell in love with God. They never really found him as a real entity in their life. He's just something that the preacher talks about. He's just somebody that resides at the church, or he's out in the universe somewhere. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, he wants to be personal in your life. He wants to be very close in your life. And so when the Bible says he was justified by works, we can find in another place that he was justified by faith. Amen. He was justified by faith. And then the other word that goes along with faith is Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Do we believe God tonight? Well, I believe it's in the Bible. No. Do you believe God? You believe everything God says and everything that God gives to us. Well, it makes a big difference. We're just talking about this thing of faith here tonight. Abraham believed God. Well, Isaiah spoke of it in Isaiah 53:1, and he said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You can almost see the prophet throwing his hands up in the air and saying, Lord, nobody believes. Nobody believes. And in the days of Isaiah, they were having church. Amen. In the days of Isaiah, they were going to the temple and offering sacrifices. In the day of Isaiah, they had all of this going along. There was lots of programs and all of that. But when it was all said and done, Isaiah threw up his hands and said, Lord, who hath believed our report? In other words, there's nobody that loves you. There's nobody that's praying. There's nobody that's seeking the face of God. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And Paul, in writing about this, speaks of it. It's like a sister scripture to Isaiah 53, is Romans chapter 10. And Paul writes to the Romans here. I hope you all stay with me. I'm not going to spend a long time here tonight, but I want to try to reach out here. Romans 10 and 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Amen. And so the Bible says here, they have not all believed. How did he know that? How did he know that they had not believed? Did he follow them around? Did he get an answer from the Lord? No, it's a very practical thing. Belief is very practical. Amen. There is substance and there is evidence with your faith. Amen. Lord, who hath believed our report? He said, because we know they have not obeyed. Amen. So Isaiah made a correlation here with obedience. Obedience is works of faith. Amen. The other type of obedience is the works of the flesh or law. Amen. And so when we talk about faith tonight, and James talked about faith, he said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Well, it's not going to work. Can I go up here? I've got some more to put down here. All right, faith. Faith is really comprised of two things. If this is faith, over here you have belief and you have works. Or if I could put it this way, obedience. Or I'll just put down the word obey. All right? And so real, genuine, biblical faith has to have belief. That's when we say, I believe this. I believe the Word of God. Even though I've never seen it for myself, I believe it. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I wasn't there. I never saw it, but I believe it. Amen. And then that belief motivates us to obey. Amen. It motivates us to obey the Word of God. And so then there is nothing in this thing of faith in God about feelings, is there? There's nothing in there that says, well, I feel like this is right. No. I feel like I have faith today. No. I felt faith come down on me. Well, usually that doesn't happen. There is also the gifts of faith or the gift of faith in that, and that is supernatural faith that comes upon us. Amen. But that's not how we live for God day by day. When we live for God day by day, we believe, but we believe enough. Amen. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, somebody said. Well, I believe I'm getting real close, but I'm not quite there yet. Amen. And so faith is not something that we feel, it's something that we believe. And then our works or what we do after we hear is the measure of how much we believe it. Amen. Abraham, go offer your son as a sacrifice. He rose up early in the morning. 3 days later, he got there, put his son on the altar, raised the knife in the air. And as the knife was coming down, the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, and he stopped and he said, now I know that you fear God, that you are willing to give up the thing that you love the most. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I feel the Lord here. Amen. Well, I'm willing to give up some things, but I'm not willing to give up everything for the Lord. I'm willing to go so far, but that's as far as I want to go. And maybe I can negotiate with God. Maybe I can just say, well, I'll try this and see if I can get by with this for a while. And I've seen folks do that. And they come to the church and they live for God, and then, or I say live for God, they come to the church and they worship the Lord, and they'll come to the altar and speak in tongues, and then they'll go right back out the door of the church and we don't see them for 6 months or a year. And then when troubles come, they want to feel like they're still right with God. So they come back, they come to the altar, they pray, they talk in tongues, and they feel like because they talked in tongues, and they felt the presence of God, that everything's all right. You got to be very careful about that tonight, because you can be under a spirit of deception that will say, well, it really doesn't matter how you live then. You can go to the church anytime and pray through and feel the power of God. That's not the way it is. Amen. That's like being married to somebody and they show up every 6 months or every year and they say, oh, I love you so much. Amen. And then they walk out the door and you don't see them for 6 months or a year. Amen. When they say, after a while, when they say, I love you, you're going to have a big question mark over that. And you're going to say, I don't think you really understand what love is really all about. Amen. And we can't do that with God. Amen. But faith gives us substance and evidence. Amen. It gives us substance. It gives us evidence. We're not here tonight because we woke up one day and felt like coming here. Amen. You're here because you made a conscious decision to come here. There was something in your mind that said, I need to be in the house of God. And more than that, I want to be in the house of God. I want to hear Him say, well done. I want to feel His presence again. I want to draw near to Him. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. He said, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart. Amen. Whether or not thou wouldest what? Keep His commandments or no. Amen. In other words, what God was telling Israel there is, I wanted to see if you had faith. And so in order to measure their faith, God put them in a position where it looked like they were going to go under. God put them in a position. You say, and it's happened to me this way, and it'll happen to everybody, I believe it. When you start out with God, the first year or two is going to be really great, and then all of a sudden you're going to hit a desert spot. And things are going to begin to happen, and situations are going to arise in your life, and you say, I don't understand it. Amen. We've talked to others about that just recently. Amen. And so you say, well, why did that happen? God wants to know where you're coming from. The Lord wants to know what's really in your heart. Amen. If we're going to go on with this relationship, If you and I are going to spend eternity together, I've got to know where you're coming from. You know what? If you're going to marry somebody, you got to know where they're coming from. Because you're going to spend a lot of time with them. Amen. And the Lord doesn't want a bride that's going to be rebellious in heaven. He's not looking for a bride that He's going to marry for eternity that'll say, get bossy with Him or something, you know. He's not interested in that. He's interested in a love relationship for eternity. Praise God. So He wants to know where we're coming from. And you can try God. The Bible says, come now, saith the Lord, test me, prove me. Amen. And see if it will work. Praise God. God will always uphold His end of the deal. He wants to know if we're going to uphold our... maybe I shouldn't even say it that way. He wants to know if we really believe Him. Do I really believe God? Well, how can I test that faith? There's only one way. It's when I get into a situation where I don't know what to do, and then the Lord looks and watches and listens to see what we do. Amen. And Israel failed, and God received them back. Thank God for His mercy. Praise the Lord. We've got to learn how to have relationships, because as people, we don't know how to have relationships. We don't have that within us usually, especially this kind of a relationship when you're talking about a relationship with God. And so it takes a little time to get it figured out, but I'm telling you what, they tempted God 10 times. And at the 10th time, God said, that's it. You're not going to make it to the promised land. You have proven that you don't believe me. You're stiff-necked, you're hard-hearted, and you don't want to do the will of God. And so I'm going to raise up another generation after you. And that's exactly what the Lord did. Amen. And so I hope this will help you to understand a little bit more about faith. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 2, this is the popular one here today. And I want to use this a little bit. I'm going to erase a little bit more here. We'll move on here tonight. All right, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so there's the scripture. It's not of works. You can't do anything to be saved. And so some even take it to the point where they say you can't do anything to be lost. And those are both wrong teachings. Amen. And so let's look at this. For by grace, everybody said grace. Oh, that's a beautiful word. That's a beautiful word, grace. It is the favor of God. We're not going to be saved if God doesn't favor us. We cannot come to God if He does not favor us. I can't get up in the morning if God doesn't favor me. I can't be blessed in my life if God's grace is not there. Folks, this thing of grace is so powerful. If you'll do your own study of grace, you'll find, friend, that it is awesome. Amen. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Praise God. Who are we that God would even come down and speak to us and touch us and help us and give us a church and give us His Word? Oh, the grace of God, the manifold grace of God. That's why Paul, in every one of his writings, in every one of his epistles, he says, grace be unto you. Because Paul knew that even with their troubles and their problems, the grace of God was great enough. If they could afford the grace of God or receive the grace of God, that their problems could be fixed. Amen. Your problems can be fixed by the grace of God. If you want to think of it this way, the grace of God is the smile of God upon your life. It is the power of God in your life. Amen. It is God's favor upon your life. I need the grace of God. I want the grace of God. I can't make it without the grace of God. Amen. And he says, by grace you are saved. So here is you and I. I'll just say us. All right? So over here we have grace, and over here we have us. There's only one way that the scripture gives us that the grace of God can get from here to here. Amen. We've got a wall here, and this wall on this end is sin. And when we have sin in our life, it becomes a wall that breaks the grace of God. It keeps the grace of God out of our lives, even though that's not altogether accurate, because when I was living in sin, I can look back and see the hand of God and how He loved me and how He protected me until I could get to the altar. Amen. But in a generic way here tonight, and so sin blocks us. If you're going to live in rebellion and live in sin all the days of your life, if you don't have a plan to serve God, well, then guess what? You're going to spend eternity without God. You'll be boiling in the flames of eternity forever and ever and ever. That's how serious it is that we need the grace of God in our lives. Amen. And if you think sin is going to bless you and bless your life, oh, just talk to some folks that's been involved in it. It doesn't bless your life. It doesn't do anything good for you. But he said here, for by grace are you saved through faith. All right. So the grace of God comes to us through faith. It is the avenue. It is the conduit. It is the wire, if you please, that the electricity goes through. Amen. It is the thing that it has to pass through. And so what Paul is saying here, if we want the grace of God, we have to understand and work out this thing of faith in our lives. You know where God blesses you? God blesses you when you give and you don't have enough to give. And then down the road, God blesses you with more than what you gave. Grace came through faith. Amen. We come to God in sin. We hear the preacher preach. And we say, I believe that. And he says, you must be baptized in Jesus' name. And so what do we do? We say, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And so when our faith and our works go together, and we say, I believe God enough to get in the water and get baptized, the Lord says, grace is going to come through your faith, and it's going to wash your sins away. If there's any that are sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Amen. And the prayer of faith shall raise up the sick. And if there's any sins, it shall be forgiven them. Amen. Grace will heal you. But it comes through faith. If you're sick and you say, I'm not going to pray about it. I'm just going to take a Tylenol. Well, go ahead. Fuel the drug industry. Amen. I'm going to go to the doctor. That's fine. Give the doctor $200 or $300 for a visit. Amen. And the Lord will just stand back and let you do that. And I'm not preaching against doctors tonight. Don't misunderstand me. I've got a passel of them in my life. I'm thankful. That's all I'm going to say. I'm thankful when you need them at that moment in time. But I'll tell you what, I would much rather have the Lord heal me. And so I go to God in prayer and say, God, I'm praying in faith. I know that you can do this, and I know that you want to do this. Amen. And so faith is the medium by which the grace of God comes to us. I'm trying to teach this in a way here tonight that it will help somebody. Amen. And so there is a way to receive the grace of God, which is through faith. There is a way to block the grace of God, and that is through sin. Well, praise the Lord. Faith is like a magnet that attracts God. And, if you understand anything about magnets, they'll attract each other or they will repel each other. And sin will repel God. Amen. Sin will repel God. In many places, the Bible says that this is an abomination unto you. In the Old Testament, they couldn't eat catfish. Anybody like catfish? Amen. They've had some good catfish down at the hospital where Doug works. We went up and had lunch with him one day, and boy, that's pretty good catfish. Deontay's shaking his head. Did you get some of that catfish? No, but you like catfish. All right. Amen. And, friend, I'll tell you what. On how to get off on catfish. About the law? Well, praise the Lord. They couldn't eat the catfish. Amen. And that was the Old Testament law. But friend, I'll tell you what, when we come to Jesus Christ and we come through faith, praise God, there is afforded to us, it's no longer the law. It's no longer those civil laws of God in the Old Testament. Amen. Faith activates grace. Faith is shown by works. And if you think about it, how did you receive the Holy Ghost? You came to a place of prayer, and somebody said, lift your hands and worship the Lord. You lifted your hands and you worshiped the Lord. Not because it was written in a book somewhere that you have to lift your hands and worship the Lord, but because you had a desire for God. And when you had a desire for God, somebody said, this is what you need to do, and they coached you a little bit and helped you a little bit, and before you know it, you felt the presence of God, right? You had sin in your life. You weren't living right. You're at the bottom. But what did God do? He brought you all the way up to the top. Praise God. Filled you with the Holy Ghost. How did your sins get washed away? And I just brought that out in baptism. Amen. You were in your sins. You could not help yourself, but somebody said, if you'll get baptized in His name, your sins will be washed away. And I'm thankful that my sins were washed away. God delivered me of cigarettes. God delivered me of alcohol when I was baptized in Jesus' name. It was an immediate deliverance in my life. I'm thankful for that today. But that deliverance, that deliverance came through faith. I was willing to go get in the water, and I didn't even understand what they were saying. I didn't know why I had to be baptized, but I just simply had faith. Amen. And that's how it happened with you. Can anybody agree with that tonight? That's how it happened with you. And all of a sudden, you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And you were walking 5 feet off the ground and excited about everything. Life had a new magic to it almost. And everything is God and everything is good. But you're here tonight. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at tonight in your walk with God? Is it supposed to start up here and come down here? No, there's a promised land. And in that promised land, there are grapes so big, amen, that it takes two men to carry one cluster of them. Praise God. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Oh, well, what do I do? Do I just confess the Lord? No, there's some giants up there. You got to go fight those giants. Oh, well, now, wait a minute. Now we're talking about real faith here. Now we're talking about, do I really believe God? Well, listen, if you'll believe God the same way you did when you came to God, you can go up that mountain and destroy that enemy. Amen. You can go up there and defeat him and get victory in your life. Praise God, because it works the same way in every area of your life. Amen. Every area of your life. Praise God. And it might surprise you who are believers in the Bible. One in particular, James chapter 2 and verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So I want to ask you tonight, if the devil is a believer, then why is he going to be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity? I'll tell you why. He believes, but he hasn't done anything about his belief. He hasn't done anything about it. He hasn't stepped out. He's taken the path of least resistance. Amen. I've seen folks like that over the years. Nobody here like that tonight. But I've seen folks over the years, I call them electricity Christians. They take the path of least resistance. That's what electricity does. It takes the path of least resistance. And whatever's the easiest, that's the way they go. And whatever feels right, that's the way they go. And if there's any resistance, you put a resistor in the line and it will produce heat. Amen. And it will cause an obstruction, and it'll be harder to push that electricity through, and different things happen when that happens. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight that you can't be an electricity Christian. You've got to be a channel that the Holy Ghost can flow through. Amen. You've got to let God do what He wants to do in your life. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, if any man love father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. Now you're talking about resistance here. Now you're talking about some obstacles in front of you. Amen. Well, I want to ask you tonight, who in the world wants to go through life with everything given to them? Some people do. Some people just want to go through life and have everything given to them. But I'm looking at some folks here tonight that know how to work, and I thank God for that. We've got a church of working people, amen, for the most part. And I'm thankful that when the Lord saved me, He didn't put me in a crib somewhere and bottle feed me all my life. Right. Oh, it's going to be all right, honey. Don't worry about it. Oh, you're so sweet, darling. It's going to be all right. You're going to be okay there, little guy. All right. If you need anything, you just holler. I'll come a-running, all right? Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. It upsets me. Amen. That's all right when we talk about the little guys around us here. We love to treat them like that. Amen. And you love to treat them like that. I've got to hurry here tonight. But you know what? The Lord loves us so much that He's not going to treat us that way. He's going to say, like He did to Job, stand up like a man. I'm going to talk to you. Yes, sir. That's why the Bible says, suffer like a good soldier. Praise God. You're going to have to go through some heat of the day. You're going to have to go through some difficulties. You're going to have to be tested. Amen. How do you get from a worker to a CEO? I worked with a man in Boston, and his uncle was the CEO of Prudential Insurance. And he started out in the mailroom. Amen. How do you get to be the CEO of a giant insurance company starting out in the mailroom in the basement? You work hard. You study. You go up the ladder. You work your way. It's not something that happens just because you wish it. Amen. They don't have resumes or applications. We're looking for a CEO, Nathan. Would you like the job? Yeah, sure. Yeah, rah, rah, rah. Yeah, let's go. Let's make $1 million. Man, it'd be so cool to make $1 million. Man, awesome, awesome, awesome. And we rally each other. And then they say, hey, Dad, you got a couple bucks for a hamburger at McDonald's? Well, praise the Lord. There comes a time when Dad doesn't give you any more bucks. Praise the Lord. Brother Greg, there was a day that your dad said, you got to go get a job, son. And he's trying to stay awake here tonight. I appreciate you bringing the kids. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he's working hard. Amen. Sometimes I see you dragging into the church, and I think, God, help them. Give them strength. But I'm not going to pray, God, just bless them with $1 million so they don't have to work anymore. God, would you just open up the windows of heaven and give Brother Reed a mansion up on the hill with $5 million in the bank? Amen. Sister Reed would like that. Amen. God help us here tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to pray that prayer for you. You know what I'm going to pray for? I'm going to pray for the grace of God to come through and come to you. Amen. You know what? There's nothing like having a victory. Praise God. There's nothing like winning. There's nothing like, you know, we're not going to give a trophy for involvement. Amen. I never got one when I was in school. When I was in junior high, I went out for the football team. I was skinnier than Garrett. Amen. And they gave me one of the leftover suits, and it was way too big for me. And I couldn't hardly move around, but I showed up for every practice. I showed up for every practice. I wasn't any good. I didn't know what I was doing, but I showed up for every practice. I know it was funny. Amen. And I remember there was one game out of the whole. I went to every game. I sat on the bench, and one game we were ahead by 1,000,000 points, and the coach figured that I couldn't mess anything up, and so he let me go out and play. I played 2 rounds. Amen. I was out there for about 1 minute, and that was it. The whole year. The whole year. Praise God. But you know what? I didn't get a trophy. And I'm still hurt about that. And I need a room to cry. I need a cry room so I can just cry this out. Did you know in some companies they have cry rooms? In some colleges they have cry rooms. So you can go, you're probably thinking tonight, oh, I'd like a cry room. God help you. You know what you need to do? You need to stand up and say, I'm going to do something with my life. I'm pushing through this. I'm not backing up. I'm going through this. Amen. And I can do it with the help of the Lord. Do you believe that tonight? Praise God. Praise God. I'm skipping a few things here, but there's some things here. Malachi 3 and verse 7. This is just an example here tonight. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. And so what did the Lord give us there? He said, you have left me. You have left me. How did we leave God? We left God because we didn't believe God anymore. Praise the Lord. Are you going to stay on a job if you come to the place where you don't believe it's going to bless you anymore? And it's going to become a bad situation for you? You're going to start looking for another job, aren't you? Because you don't believe that, you don't believe in that job anymore. And it's the same way with the Lord. It's the same way with our friends. It's the same way with our close relationships. It has to come down to faith and belief, but it's more than faith and belief. It is what we do. It's how we act based upon our belief system. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. He said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. And he said, wherein shall we return? How do we return? He said, well, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. That's how you rob God. That's how you get away from God. That's how you walk. If the Lord's right here, that's how we start walking away from God. We cut back a little bit. And then judgment doesn't come, so we cut back a little bit more. And then we cut back, and before you know it, we've learned how to come to church and worship God and not give a dime. And I'm telling you what it is. It is we have lost our faith. I believe God today. Do you believe God today? Jesus said, given it shall be given unto you. Do you believe that? Well, it's getting quiet in here. Why is it getting quiet in here? Amen. Some of you are faithful in your giving. Amen. And God's going to bless you. And God is blessing you in more than tangible, physical, monetary ways. Amen. And we're sticking with it. Amen. How do I stick with it? You got to have faith. You've got to believe that it is the substance and the evidence of my walk with God. I can't have faith and not do anything about it. Praise the Lord. But when I have faith, I'm going to do something about it. When I have faith that God's going to help me, I'm going to get up and go to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Do you love Him tonight? Amen. Do you want to have faith in God? You want to get to the place where it's actually better than when you first started with God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, don't look for ways to skimp. Don't look for ways to bypass. Don't look for ways to get out of, but look for ways to get closer. Amen. And to obey more and to please God with your life. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you love Him with all of your heart? I want to love Him with all of my heart. Amen. And I'm learning to do that. Praise God. I'm learning to do that. And it's a learning process. It's a growing process. It is. When you learn something, you approach it without any of the concepts or the principles or anything involved in it. But a good teacher will take you at point zero and take you to step one. And you can get excited about step one. I remember getting excited about counting to 100. I was so nervous. All of us had to do it in front of the whole class. Had to count to 100. And I thought, I can count to 10. I don't know about 100. That's big. And I started counting, and I was trying to remember 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and I'll make it. And I started going through there, and I made it all the way. Matthew, can you count to 100? You can? All right. That's good. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Oh, I received the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's wonderful. Don't stop there. Don't stop at that place. Praise God. Get closer to God. Pray more. Seek the face of God. Do what you see in the Word of God that you need to do. And do it by faith, not by constraint or because it's a law. Amen. But do it because you want to please God more than anything. And you'll find that you can go to higher heights and greater places. Amen. I never ever dreamed when I first got the Holy Ghost that I would be praying for someone and they were healed. But I've seen that. I never saw that when I first gave my life to God. I never understood anything of that. And I have not attained, but I'm reaching higher and higher and higher and higher. Praise God. And if you'll do that, you can make it. You can make it. Because you've got what it takes to win tonight. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. I thank you for each and every one that's here tonight.